Forever! Dog!
Her lips were sweet and deadly. This week on the podcast, R.L. Stine's Killer's Kiss. Welcome to Teen Creeps, the podcast that discusses YA pulp fiction. I'm one of your hosts, Lindsay Kate.
I'm another one of your hosts, Kelly Nugent.
And we are discussing R.L. Stine's Killer's Kiss with a very special guest. He's a writer, video game designer, Halloween slash horror historian, and the founder of iMockery.com. And he's currently the assistant director and writer on the Cyanide and Happiness Freakpocalypse trilogy. I'm a pro. Ladies and gentlemen and everyone, welcome Roger Barr.
Ahoy there. Thank you for having me.
And
don't worry, everyone on the writer's team makes fun of how hard it is to say Freakpocalypse because
I kept trying to stick an A in there.
Yep.
Oh, like Freakapocalypse.
But it's Freakpocalypse.
Yeah, we've heard every version Silly of it, like Freakoplips and all kinds of good stuff. Yeah, so it's wonderful. Yeah.
So is that a video game?
Yes, it is. It's kind of based, if anyone's familiar with Cyanide and Happiness, all their, you know, cartoon shorts and comics on YouTube and everything. It's kind of a video game trilogy that takes place in their world and all that. So we've been
cool,
kind of just like bringing all the characters from that universe together in this one massive trilogy post-apocalyptic video game. So yeah.
Hell yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah. Well, thank you for joining us to talk about this very silly book. Since you're a first time guest on the show, but a friend, but I don't know your history with these types of books. Did you grow up reading pulp horror?
I'm a big Stephen King fan. That was like my go-to when I was a kid, but I wouldn't call that YA, obviously.
Yeah.
I really like Fear Street and all that kind of stuff. That was a little bit after me, for the most part. Like my main YA stuff was like, you know, like there were Friday the 13th, like spinoffs and Halloween spinoffs. A lot of that stuff I read because I'm a huge horror movie fan. So anything, like I remember there were like novelizations of the Elm Street movies that I had to get because the part 1, 2, and 3 book had, Freddy's like prehistory story at the very beginning of it that wasn't in the movies, like Freddy as a human and all that. So I was obsessed with that stuff. And also the YA author Gordon Corman came to my school when I was a kid. And so I read a bunch of his books. He wasn't horror. He was more just like a lot of mischief, you know, like kids going to summer camp, getting into wacky situations.
I think right.
One of his books was like called The Twinkie Squad, and the kids, they like get in trouble for like burying some really stinky squid, but the cops thought they were burying a body. Like, it's some crazy stuff. But Gordon Corman, I was definitely a fan of him when I was a kid, just mainly because, you know, he came to our school and they were, you know, like shilling his books to all of us. But but he was like really super successful. Yeah.
Did you get an autographed copy?
No, I've never been big on autographs in general.
Honestly. Did you get an autographed Twinkie?
Oh, it would still be good today too. Yeah,
that's exactly.
Yeah,
those things last forever.
They do. Yeah, Lindsay, we do go way back. I mean, have you ever talked to your readers about your performances in the Tournament of Nerds or anything?
It's come up now and then. I don't know how extensively I've described it, but yeah. So Roger, also a performer in the Tournament of Nerds show at UCB, where we debate about which fictional or non-fictional character would win in a fight in front of a panel of judges. Very fun.
Yeah. Lindsay was always the person I was most scared to go against because we both, I think we did a lot of writing and research and stuff for our performances. Like some people would just go in there and improvise and all. And you know, we did that too, but I always knew you would come like super prepared.
Oh, thanks. So, well, your
great
expertise
still kills me. I still laugh about it. Yeah.
Thank you. Well, it was always daunting going up against you because you are a horror and movie expert in many, many ways. So right back at you. So Killer's Kiss. Kelly, mm-hmm. before we get into the weeds, do you want to read the back of the book?
Would love to. Okay. Ready? It's not very long. Blink and you'll miss it. Ready? Kiss life goodbye. Delia and Karina have always been rivals. For the best grades, the most friends, the hottest guys. This year, they both want Vincent, the most popular boy at Shadyside High. Karina is determined to win no matter what it takes. And if she can't have Vincent, she'll make sure that no one can. You know what? I'm mad that they actually don't mention in the back of the book. Because I feel
like... The Conklin Award?
Yeah, the Conklin Award.
Which seems like more of a motivating factor than Vincent even, although they're clearly both like unhinged.
They're pretty par,
Yeah, I feel like Vincent was like the catalyst, but it was really about
That Conklin Award, which apparently is an award. Okay.
Is it real?
So No. I'm saying in the world of the book.
Yeah.
Correct me if I'm wrong. The Conklin Award is an award / scholarship to, is it any college or specifically this college?
I think it's any college you want.
But it is run borderline like a Miss America contest.
Yes. Yeah, there's like a talent portion. They're performing magic tricks to win the Conklin Award. Like if I'd known that, I probably could have gotten into Harvard, like just doing some stupid tricks.
I was really mad.
I was like, where's the swimsuit competition, guys?
Yeah.
Yeah,
I was really mad.
At least some Star Search stuff going on there.
Yeah, I was really mad that like everyone else is. And this is not to speak ill of magicians. Okay,
not to speak ill.
Magic is like a talent; it's a skill. But I was really mad. Was it Spencer? Was he the
Spencer or Stuart?
Stuart.
Maybe.
I forget the names instantly.
Stuart, he's like the main artist in the school, but I think he was doing the magic portion.
Okay. I was really mad that like everyone else's, I guess, talents. Well, first of all, I was annoyed that like it seemed like Arlstein ran out of talents. Like he was like singing and then singer-songwriting. And so like those were too similar. But then I felt like at least those were in the world of like art, whereas like magic, and specifically the kind of magic that he was doing, which was just like getting a parrot, was like not like they were like, wow, oh my god, how can I compete with that? But I was like, what are you talking about? This is like a non-talent.
Yeah, where did he get that parrot?
I know. And I'm like, the store? I don't know. Like, yeah, where you get parrots.
It's magic. This is pretty standard.
Yeah.
So I was like, I was frustrated with that.
Yeah, I was more just frustrated, like understanding what the Conklin Award is. Like I'm still not like clear on it. Like I just thought it was just like this prestige thing. Are you just like guaranteed like to get into the school of your choice? Well, or does it?
No,
or
it's,
is
just it more just like, it's money.
It was money. Okay.
I think it's scholarship.
So
money.
You just, and it's something to put on your resume.
I remember her saying that she can't afford she couldn't even really afford junior college, but like the dream fashion institute that she wanted to go to, that's
in
like
New York.
No way could she afford that without the Conklin Award. Mm-hmm.
So just to skip right to the spoiler.
Sure.
Did you guys see it coming that it was in fact like Delia staging everything? Yeah. Okay.
It was either going to be that or it was just going to be the really obvious, like, because they were like being pretty heavy handed with her sister. I was like, it's either going to be her or her sister, but the sister was a red herring, obviously. So
I was guessing it was her. The last like straw on the camel's back for me that like pushed it into, okay, it's for sure her, was when she shows up at the party and she's like, oh my god,
yes,
what's her name? Like Karina ripped my dress, and I was
look
like,
at the
girl,
rope burns on my wrist.
I was like, Karina did not do that to you.
Yeah, and Karina was always surprised anytime this stuff came up. So, I mean, Karina, had plenty of issues for sure. But,
and the fact that we weren't there for it.
Karina.
That I was like, okay, well, we know it. This is a classic Arlstein move of
if we didn't see it happen.
I know.
Then,
honestly, I wanted
unreliable narrator.
In a perfect world, it would have been Brittany who was doing it.
Yeah, I actually thought it might be Brittany.
I thought it might be Brittany for a second, too.
I wanted it to be Brittany yeah. so bad, because she was just, like, encouraging her the whole movie and, like, keeping her on the... the whole movie. I'm talking like this.
Yeah.
But she was encouraging her the whole book and just, you know, always the voice of reason and positivity and all that.
And she had plenty of motive to, like, be annoyed with Delia anyway, mm-hmm. because like Delia is extremely, like, even more so than a normal main character, like, extremely self-obsessed. All she cares about how she's gonna go get the Conklin Award, and you know, all the guy, you know, that other guy, Gary.
Yeah, Gabe, who had one of the many people who had a crush on Delia.
Yeah, Gabe, yeah. The long-suffering best friend, boyfriend.
Yeah.
Listening to all of her, friend zone Gabe, listening to all of her talk of Vincent, who I thought it was a bold choice of Robert Stein to make Vincent the hot guy a redhead.
Mm-hmm.
You so seldom get a hot redheaded guy.
Got some Archie vibes.
He's like, good, like,
I remembered it saying he was dark haired. Was he red?
I thought it was red.
I didn't. Maybe
somebody
had
red hair.
Was it Gabe?
Now I'm looking it up.
I don't recall him having red hair.
I would have sworn I saw red hair, and I was like, red hair.
I wrote dark haired hunky guy next to my notes. Oh,
okay,
Vincent,
maybe Gabe's got red hair. Somebody's got red hair,
or Stuart.
It could be Stuart. Yeah, Stuart's the...
Because Stuart is hot.
I could easily be mistaken about who has the red hair. The second mystery of the book.
The more important one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Because I remember... And then that was the other reason why I thought Brittany might be involved, too. Because, like, on top of it, then Delia's like, ugh. And then Stuart asked me out. And Brittany was like, okay, but, like, that's not bad. Like, he's pretty hot.
And I was like, if Stuart's right here, why do we give two fucks about Vincent?
I know.
Vincent sounds just awful.
Vincent's very, very first line in the book is, whoa. Like, that's what you need to know about Vincent.
Yeah,
and that's after getting a kiss from Delia. I have trouble calling her Delia. The whole book, I was like, Delilah. That's the name. I kept messing with my head as I read it.
Yeah. I understand that.
But yeah, you're right about Delia. Like,
oh, you're right. Wavy dark hair.
Yeah, I thought so. But
now I have
Delia,
to find out.
You're right. She totally made it like about herself. Like, everyone was always checking on her. I don't think she checked on anyone the entire book.
No one else had a life.
Yeah,
it's like when you talk to someone for like 4 hours and then you're like, they never asked me a single question. And I know their entire life story. And I don't think they could tell you one thing about me.
Kelly, how are you doing?
I'm doing good. Thanks for asking. How about you?
All right.
No, but you know what I mean? Like if you're trapped with someone, I mean, I just feel like I've like, especially in the hosting world, like you encounter a lot of people that you're like, oh, you've talked to me for like 3 hours about like how many followers you have. And like, you don't know anything about me.
Yeah.
Nor do you have any interest. I would walk away and I just no longer exist when I'm not like in your line of sight.
Well, I will say
it's
this
that classic
for...
introduction, right? Like, hey, how are you? What do you do?
Yeah.
And then you look around for who else to talk to.
Right.
Yes.
I will say for Delia is that she was sort of shipping Brittany and Gabe, which is interesting.
She was.
And not in a selfish way. She was like, they'd be cute together.
Mm. Yeah.
But of course, this is before we knew Delia was just like straight up cray.
Yeah. When she was like, part of it was like, I just feel guilty because like Gabe is like so obsessed with me and like maybe him and she like looks around and sees Brittany. She's like, Brittany?
But they did. They hung out in the book a lot together. They were like, I think the three of them.
Yeah.
I mean, and Gabe they were just always together. Was it Gabe? Okay.
Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
Information.
There you go.
I just remembered because at the very end when we find out that he's like trapped in a relationship with her and she like pushes his red hair out of his face.
Okay.
And I was like, I didn't know he had red hair this entire time.
Red hair really stuck in my brain for some reason because we so often get a main female redhead, but like never a main male redhead. And in the world of these very white books, that's extreme representation.
It is. Well, also like these books usually too, like RL has trouble deciding what's handsome. And he'll
or has no idea.
Yeah, he'll just be like, this guy was so hot. He had really far apart, tiny eyes, blonde hair, tan skin, tiny teeth. And you're like, wait, what is this person? And
sharp, tiny teeth that all the girls thought made him look like a sexy dead person. Like
he ambled over to her. And you're like, what is this guy?
And his rat's tail was beckoning. Yeah. And the girls in the book are like, oh my god!
Oh god, no! In one of my favorite Friday the 13th young adult novels, there's a guy who just has like this like fetid stench, and one of the girls is just oh my god, he's so dreamy. It's just
fetid stench. You can't give someone a fetid stench and then tell me that people are into them.
Yeah. Yeah, no, a major
Camp stinky? Crystal Lake, you can, apparently.
I guess.
Well, pickings are slim at Camp Crystal Lake.
Mm. Very true.
I feel like. And if you're at Camp Crystal Lake, you're horny, so.
Oh, 100%.
You got to settle. Yeah. You got to settle.
It's just like you look around, you're like, that guy. Yeah. But yeah, so Gabe is like mooning after Delia, who is kind of the, she reminded me a lot of, oh God, who is that artsy Asian one in Babysitter's Club?
Claudia.
Thank you. Kishi, the one that I was the like, greatest maybe that's character. Me.
Yes, everybody wants to be Claudia.
Yeah. And I was like, she's Asian. So
I'm Asian.
I'm Asian.
We're Asian together.
They're writing about me.
I did. This is a little bit of a tangent, but I did a shoot the other day, and for one, I booked an Airbnb. I booked two of them, but one of them was just for the lodging. Oh, thanks so much. Mm-hmm. And at that Airbnb, one of the rooms was just the Asian room, and
okay,
like a big fan on the wall, like a paper fan, and like statues, and like. The windows were covered in like paper, and also it was like different parts of Asia.
I was just gonna say, they mixed it all together, right? Yeah.
But Mike saw it, and he was like, "For you," and I was like, "Yay!
Oh, it's a room for Kelly." Do you feel comfortable? Do you feel really comfortable?
Yeah. It was like Volcano, but like
Volcano. Perfect. There you go.
But a room. It was the nicest room in the. In the whole Airbnb, for what it's worth. Yeah. So I guess that's a win for my people.
So kudos to the Volcano Room.
Yeah, kudos to Volcano Room.
Did you give them a good rating?
I have yet to give them a rating, but I think I'll give them a fine. Yeah, I'll give them. They were very nice, and it ended up being really weird how the lodging was split up, so that it ended up that only three people were staying there, and it was three stories, so they each just had their own floor, and then it was like the rest of everybody at this tiny cabin where it was like it was just very interesting how it ended up being split up. But everyone loved the Asian room. But anyway, she reminded me of Claudia. She was very
super artsy, like wild outfits, or at least wild colors together.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she is all about not fitting in with the crowd. That mm-hmm. is, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That
oh,
is.
Yeah.
And for that reason, she should win college money.
Yes. Yeah. Well, okay, her outfits were pretty stellar. She has this orange shirt dress with embroidered daisies along the bottom hem that she wears with her purple lipstick that only she even says to herself,
midnight,
she's like,
wine.
Oh yeah, midnight wine.
And midnight wine.
And it
midnight
really wine. And it
wow,
really
what is she
drives
wearing?
It drives wine. What's his name crazy, like where he's like, oh, that lipstick just makes me wild. I was like, I just didn't know guys, like, especially in the 90s, like, had specific, like,
I like, oh,
let
I
me
guess.
Tell you, let me tell you, whenever I see a lady wear,
can we get your perspective?
All I can say is, whoa. Oh.
Yeah. But she even says, like, to herself, she's like, only I could pull off a dress like this. So she, like,
certain thoughts mm-hmm. about herself, indeed.
Yeah.
The thoughts, they are certain.
Mm-hmm. But she's very, very jealous of Karina because the book describes Karina as prettier. Yes. And that Vincent thinks she looks like Michelle Pfeiffer. So that is some high praise.
Okay.
I was
going to
say, in fairness, Michelle Pfeiffer is fucking gorgeous. Gorgeous. And I don't know how you compete with that. I don't care how creatively flared your outfits are.
I know she played Catwoman, but she literally looks like a cat when she's not doing any of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
100%.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, it kind of like Lindsay was saying, like, no matter how creative you are.
Yeah. Like, best of luck putting orange, purple, and red together. It's not going to turn into Michelle Pfeiffer.
Also, like, what
if
was
I'm running the Conklin Awards, I'm going, okay, magic, shitty guitar playing. Oh, Michelle Pfeiffer, you're in.
Yeah.
That's how I award scholarships.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Also, like, I guess I really liked how Vincent was first like comparing the girls in his head. He's like, well, Karina is the most beautiful person I've ever seen. And Delia's not pretty, but she is fun and wild and she's got that lipstick. And then like, but Karina's also like really nice and smart and like all these other things.
I was like, I feel like Karina's winning.
Like, Karina's the winner.
I like how craven Vincent is, though. He's like, all right, I never want to stop dating all what turns out to be three of these girls.
Yeah.
Because one of them is a 15-year-old.
A minor.
I did not like that.
Yep.
Vincent is just full-on
Delia's
sex addict.
Little sister, Sarah, Not good at all.
I didn't like that. And I also didn't like how the book was kind of like, but she was really like asking for it. I was like, this is weird. Like, this felt like, I didn't like the like weird scheming, like Lolita without the commentary-ness of it.
Yeah. R.L. Stein, that is not R.L. Fine.
No.
R.L. Stein would appreciate that pun very much, I think.
Good.
He might steal it from you, so make sure you copyright this episode. And
I absolutely
or
will.
At the very least, get a job as this ghostwriter.
I'd be happy to. I could at least hopefully be on par with this kind of writing. So.
Yeah.
The Vincent Milano trademark smile also comes up in the book once. Yeah. They make this like this big deal, but it says the Vincent Milano trademark smile. They don't describe it. Nothing.
They do not describe it. No.
Yeah. And so I just want to know what it is that seems to drive these ladies wild. So
I do think it does come up more than once, though, but they never describe it.
I only remember seeing it once.
Yeah, I only remember seeing it specifically called the Vincent Milano trademark smile.
I think it's when he smiles.
I thought it came up with
the sister.
Isn't
it when he smiles with the sister? Yeah.
I think it comes up like right at the beginning and with the sister.
Yeah, it's at the beginning on page 7.
Oh, well then, because if I remember him doing it at the sister, that's also after. So it's twice. Mm.
So it's at least twice, but we never, there's no indication of what the smile is like. Is it like a cute lopsided smile?
I think it's probably rakish.
Is it no teeth?
Mm-hmm. It's no teeth, wide, and open.
We were all trying it out, Liz.
Yeah, we're trying it.
And I think that we all nailed it.
Yeah.
Totally.
And now I get it.
Yeah.
So
I'm in love with all of you now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I get it. And honestly, I want to fight both of you for the other.
And it is now legal for him to date a 15-year-old with that smile.
Very true. Yeah.
Weirdly.
I'm sure. I'm sure he got the Conklin Award with it too.
Yep. In the smile competition.
Is he in high school? He is, right?
Say again.
Is he in high school? He is, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. He goes to school with them. And I don't know how he is juggling these women, but he is truly like so calculated. He not only wants to keep dating all three of them, but he also wants them to be fighting because that makes it easier for him to date.
That's when
all
I was like, oh,
him.
Wow, this took a turn when they talk about him not wanting them to be, on good terms.
I was like so impressed with them.
If they're friends.
Yeah. I was so impressed with them for like realizing, oh, he is the enemy, but then totally gets undone a second later as soon as he's like, no, I don't know what she's talking about. We're not dating. And Delia's like, I knew she must have been lying.
That pissed me off. I can't tell you how many times I went when I was reading, I was like, God damn it, Delia. So
yeah. Goddamn Adelia, indeed.
She just, it seemed like she did not know what was going on, or she would always just let him just like make an excuse for it every time she would seemingly buy it. So.
Well, she was like actively ignoring like Occam's razor, because she would be like
100%.
Like
she was
really,
like acknowledging reality, and then would assume a one word from him and she'd undo it all.
Yeah.
The movies are back, baby. And if you're looking for a weekly podcast to keep up with all the new releases and all the hottest news and rumors coming out of Hollywood, check out Movies, Baby, with 5 Ys. Is Emma Stone on track for greatest actress of all time?
What's the best Godzilla movie of all time?
What's up with John Cena?
Love Lies Bleeding? We'll take more where that came from.
What movie should have won Best Picture at this year's Oscars?
Hint, it's the name of 2 months, and they ain't close together.
Those are just some of the topics we've discussed on recent episodes of Movies, Baby. Every week on Movies, Baby, Forever Dog co-founders and lifelong movie fanatics Brett and Joe break down the hottest movie news, review the latest releases, shout out forgotten classics, and prophesy the future of Hollywood. You can listen to Movies, Baby wherever you get podcasts, and you can watch Movies, Baby live every Thursday night on YouTube at Movies, Baby with 5 Ys. Movies, Baby!
I felt like, even from the beginning, like when they were arguing with each other, it really bugged me that, like, when she first gets like attacked on the bleachers by
we have
Karina,
to talk about that.
That was nuts.
Yeah. That was really
that was
brutal
out of nowhere.
Attack.
Yeah.
I was shocked when that was real.
Same.
Shocked.
Same.
Yeah. But at the same time, I was really mad because I was like, and I know 2020 hindsight, you never know what you're going to do when some girl runs at you and like attacks you on the bleachers.
Mm-hmm.
However, like, I just kept being like, why don't you just try to talk to her? Like, to me, it was like literally like 3 words could fix this. But like, they keep
not while
being
she's
like,
charging at you like
no.
a maniac, though.
Yeah.
My God. Like,
yeah.
she nearly strangles her to death, like in the middle of an assembly, right?
She, and then doesn't she, does she scratch her then, but
pulls
doesn't?
Her.
Earring
oh
my god
out of her ear
and
almost somehow seems worse,
it's worse.
To me
yeah,
it's worse
they talk
because
about,
then
like,
you
the
can't
blood oozing
yeah
out
like she's got to go get that ear stapled now
yeah.
like
yeah.
she's ripped a larger hole in Delia's ear. I was like shocked.
It was like forcing like a gauge basically.
Yes.
And she also called her a witch when she was doing this. And you know that's not what she really was calling.
You know that means bitch.
100%.
You know that means B-word.
100% means B-word. Do they not say bitch in these books? I guess they don't.
They do
in Christopher
Pike.
They say like hell or damn. Rarely.
Midnight wine.
They also have, again, parties with no alcohol.
Yep.
They
always
just have a
but
bunch
no
of
parents.
Yeah, no parents, and it's in an abandoned house, and there's chicken nuggets
lots
everywhere.
Of snacks. Yeah. The fact that Vincent has arranged for his party to be in the fear in the Simon
in the fear
burnt out abandoned mansion and nothing supernatural happens, unforgivable.
This
we
is
have
like
had one death in the whole book.
You are in the like most in, haunted place in all of Shadyside and nothing happens.
Mm-mm. This is like in Malignant, which patreon.com/teencreeps. We talk about it more there. But this is like in Malignant when the sister like goes to the like experimentation facility or whatever to get the archives.
Oh, yeah.
And like is fine and finds them immediately and then just leaves. It's like
she
that.
Parks
like,
on the edge of a cliff.
You were at like the most scary place in the world and it was fine.
It was fine. She was fine.
Why did we even have that scene?
No one came at her. We didn't need it. They could have had that in a different office.
Could have happened off screen. She could have been like, so I went to that place and got the videotape so we can cry at the screen together.
Well, then
Mom.
I'd be complaining that we didn't see her go there. But like if nothing's going to.
Oh,
so
no,
it's.
I'm not saying it would be better to do that. I'm saying it would be the same.
May as well, yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
I kind of wish the bleacher attack happened in that mansion and stuff, too. Like, maybe they could have gone there before. Like, that would have... It just would have been a better setting for it.
Like, we do end up finding Vincent's dead body there.
Yes.
That's cool.
But that's the next day, and that is very much Delia's doing and didn't seem to happen at the mansion, or maybe it did.
She killed him at the mansion.
Okay.
Yeah. She just waited until everybody left. I know, off page again, because it had to be a surprise.
Honestly, the grossest thing, aside from the earlobe that they describe in the book, was the rat in the guitar.
Yeah,
that was gross.
That was the one part where it got like super descriptive, like it's like talking about like the skin like decaying off of the rat
and the smell and
yeah, all this
and
stuff.
Now we know that Delia herself found that rat
and did it.
Yeah,
it's disturbing.
Didn't she find it in the school dumpster? I think
yeah,
she went dumpster diving for a rat.
Yeah,
yeah.
So this
and
is another
again,
busy.
I was shocked that that was
it
real.
Wasn't a fake.
I just
out.
Am always expecting a fake out.
Yeah,
with,
a dream
with
sequence
Robert.
Or something. Yeah.
Yeah. So honestly, I was pretty surprised at the lack of fake outs in this one.
Yeah, I don't think there was a single fake out.
Yeah, no. It was always like...
To the reader.
Like literally, it was like, she screamed.
There were some. Like I know she had some dreams.
You're right.
And yeah. The weirdest thing to me was like she... Instead of like counting sheep or something, she dreams of popcorn,
soft,
fluffy popcorn falling from the sky, covering the ground like snow. And I got to try that just to see if it works.
I was going to say, I read that and I was like, that does sound really peaceful.
It really does. Yeah. Like, yeah.
And that one was like two fake outs in one because it was like, she was holding a gun. No, it was
but
lipstick.
It's a silver tube of lipstick
instead.
Midnight wine.
And then she smears it all over her face, which I was like, okay, cool.
Uh-huh.
But then it was a dream.
But you're right. That was a fake out.
Okay. So that was the one like double fake out in the book.
But it was weird because it was Delia dreaming about it and stuff when Delia is the one who's like actually doing all this horrible stuff. So maybe that was like his attempt at like cluing you in that she's kind of crazy. But
maybe.
Yeah, maybe.
But yeah, she did
like
use the lipstick on the guitar
gets the
too.
Idea or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or she's just like, haunted by like we're seeing kind of her point of view of like what Karina represents to her as a threat. So then that's why she would act the way she does.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I got to say her framing of Karina was very intelligent.
It was deep, yeah.
It worked.
Because, I mean, even Gabe and Britty, like, had announced, like, they became her bodyguards, like, after the guitar incident or something. So, they were totally on Delia's side.
Yeah. Because we, and I, much respect to Robert for this, it is very much set up as a Chekhov's lipstick blotter.
Yeah,
she's
blotting all over the place
all the time. Blotting the
blotting. Can't stop blotting that midnight wine, and leaving these papers everywhere.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
so he's really setting it up that's going to come into play, and it does.
Well, and this is especially I appreciate it so much more because usually he seeds stuff. And it doesn't pay off at all. It's like, I got in and like the seatbelt didn't work in the car and it took a really long time to, click it into place. Oh, well. And then like that never comes back. That's never a thing. Like there's like these details that don't matter. So I fully expected the lipstick blotting to not matter.
Mm-hmm. Me too.
So you know what? I think this was maybe one of those that maybe either he wrote or that he like actually cared about when he was writing. Cause it just feels like there's like through lines that he's actually taking care of instead of just nothing.
Yeah. There actually aren't, I don't think there are any dangling threads. He sets things up and then uses them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, for me, like I just wanted to, and maybe you two are already familiar with this from other books, but Red Heat, the hottest nightclub in Shadyside.
This is the first time I've heard of Red Heat.
Okay, because I'm just like picturing like, it's just like a dance clubs in suburbia, right? Like, it's got to be like an ocean of dad bods and mom jeans. It's just, what is going on in there? I need
an 18 and under club. This is what I'm picturing. Like,
in a strip mall.
Really bleak.
Just a basically a black box theater.
Kind of too bright inside. It's sparsely attended. Like, I'm picturing it
to
be...
No alcoholic beverages.
Unpleasant.
Yeah.
But Delia is so excited to go there with Vincent, no matter what is happening to her.
Mm-hmm. And her outfit, this is another banger of an outfit. Ready?
Oh, what was it?
Black suede miniskirt with black suede fringed vests over my purple lace bodysuit with funky red platform shoes that she found at the thrift store.
Honestly, I will say, even though I think these outfits don't compare to the face of Michelle Pfeiffer, they are banging outfits.
They're banging outfits.
Yeah, yeah.
These are some
pretty good outfits. Pretty close.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
But then she can't wear the skirt.
And I'm sure she was wearing Midnight Wine with it, right?
Of course she was wearing Midnight. She can't not wear. She.
Oh, she can't wear her
She can't wear the skirt because Britty borrowed it. So she has to drive over to Britty's for the skirt. That's right.
What is, what it eventually ends up, because she drives over to Britty's, she sees Vincent and Karina, right?
Was that when he sees her and Karina or her and her sister? I forget. On the way back.
I also
I'm trying to remember.
Wait.
I know Vincent makes like some weird ass excuse about why he then can't go dancing though, like because his mom has carpet cleaners coming tomorrow.
Yeah.
And like what?
Oh yeah.
And he's like, what am I supposed
you there
to do?
For what?
You understand, Julia. And she's like, I do understand. I'm so understanding.
Yeah. We've all been there with the carpet cleaners, Vincent. Mm-hmm. We know. Mm-hmm.
He's really doing a number on her to like make her so bend over backwards to be a good girlfriend that she's like, yeah, I totally understand this non-excuse.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because that's how much I love you.
Yeah.
Because he's gone so far with the constant lies that like I feel like some of his lies are just completely no effort and nothing lies. And so she just believes them or
she's doing all the work.
Yeah.
Because she's also like doing other shit. Like at this point,
she's busy.
She's like, I'm so busy. Like I have to
She's working on the Conklin Award.
Get the Conklin Award. She has to frame Karina for shit. Mm-hmm. She has to like work on her own like
art. She's having to do so many paintings.
And plan a murder.
And then destroy said paintings to blame
and
it
then
on
do
Karina.
Backup paintings.
And then find rats.
Yeah.
And then insert the rats in her guitar.
Full schedule for a high schooler.
And on top of that, get good grades and go to school.
And we also have to mention some of the other things that she does. She works at the school newspaper as the front page editor. She edits the front page only, which I know is maybe a thing in, like on big, you know, pro newspapers
like
and
real
all,
newspapers.
But a high school newspaper.
Well,
Karina edits the full
the
paper, they
thing.
Say, but mm-hmm. but yeah.
Maybe they do Delia that to teach about a real paper.
I see.
So like not so much that it's a necessary job, but they're like, this is a job that exists in a major newspaper and we want to teach you how those newspapers are working. So like, so it's like Delia's busy with that, yet has next to nothing to do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think the school paper's ever mentioned again other than that, you know, she's really just kind of comparing her credentials to Karina's for the Conklin.
Dude, the moment that Gabe, like, because Gabe has had enough after a certain point because she's like bitching about how great Karina is and how she's probably going to win the Conklin. I loved when Gabe was like, yeah, okay. And she's prettier than you. And she has a perfect singing voice. And she's this and she's that and lists all this stuff. And he's like, is that what you want to hear? I was like, Gabe.
That's a real friend.
I was like, sometimes tough love. You got to give it sometimes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And Britty, too. Britty's, she tells him, she's the one who sees through all of Vincent's bullshit. Like, she says, you're going to see Vincent after what you saw today, after all the lies he told you. Why? Why do you want to talk to him? Let Karina have him. They deserve each other.
Yes.
Like,
yeah.
that is a good friend.
And yes.
It's just like wasted. Over her head.
Yeah. It's wasted on this nutball.
Delia is just so annoying. Like, I think I would have just been, I probably would have ghosted her by this point because, like, she's so annoying. She doesn't want to hear, you know, it's like if someone is just like, all she does is complain, and you're like, okay, well, like, here are like a million options that you could take. Mm-hmm. And she's just like, anyway, back to what I was saying about how Karina is horrible and ruining my life. And it's like, oh my God, dude.
And it's very much you. You can't always control the situation, but you can control how you respond to the situation.
Yeah. I'm still like, it just bothers me. Like, I know, you know, her and her sister, Delia and her sister Sarah, don't get along well and all, but Vincent is literally with her. And his excuse is the worst thing. Like when he's trying to explain when he finally gets busted.
The fact that she accepts this.
Yes, this is the excuse. I felt sorry for her. I figured I'd give her a few pointers. I thought maybe then the sophomore guys wouldn't think she's such a geek. No big deal. So I gave the kid a break. You know I'm only serious about you.
That was so top five most disgusting things I've ever
read. And she's like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
I know. She's like, oh, how nice.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
How hot is this guy? Like,
I can't.
It's that trademark smile.
It's that trademark smile. Yeah.
It's got a little twinkle every time he does it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Little sheen. Yeah.
He like bats his eyes. He's like, bing, 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 bing.
Michelle, we should look up Michelle Pfeiffer's husband. She's probably dating him.
Do you know who Michelle Pfeiffer's husband is?
Who
do you know? God, you guys don't know this? It's no, David
I,
E. Kelly.
I should know.
Michelle Pfeiffer is married to Ally McBeal creator and many other things creator David E. Kelly.
I don't care who it is. He's not pretty enough for her.
No, absolutely not. And also, Ally McBeal is a terrible show.
It is. Yeah. But he did do, I'd still stand by, you know, Big Little Lies and Nine Perfect Strangers as being like the best kind of trash. He did do those shows. I enjoyed
Nine Perfect Strangers, except for the ending. I wasn't crazy about the ending.
Oh,
I haven't seen it yet.
It was a little...
It was weird hearing Queensryche Silent Lucidity come in at the end of it, too. That was an old pull for me. I was a huge Queensryche fan back in the day. So I was just like, oh, all right.
But I did like that show. If you give me Nicole Kidman in bad wigs doing an Eastern Bloc thing, I'm there. I'm so happy.
I rewatched the Nicole Kidman movie To Die For from 1993.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
She is so fucking good in that.
Yeah. Mm.
I was like, we 100%. Really missed out on a career of Nicole Kidman, the character actress. And we got Nicole Kidman, the leading woman.
Yeah. When she's been in some other great, like, you know, more like indie movies, I guess, in recent years. Like Stoker is one of my
all-time
favorites
Good.
Incredible. And I mean, just some of the atmosphere in that movie is it is tense as hell the entire
Gothic
time through.
Gothic horror. It's really good.
She's
really
phenomenal in it. She's absolutely phenomenal. Yeah.
Some of the best like transitions.
The hair to the field. Oh,
it's
that
so
kills
good.
Me. One of the best transitions I've ever
really
seen.
Really fucking good.
Yeah.
It has Lindsay's arch nemesis in it though. Mia.
No, not Mia.
She's in it. I think she's good in it because she's not my nemesis.
It's her best role.
She's very good.
If she's good in it.
The scene with her and the uncle at the piano. My God.
Yeah.
My beef with Mia and Elle Fanning are simply just that they are too much of a blank slate. But that's why they're...
Wait, Elle Fanning? Is she...
I think she's also such a like...
Is she the one in The Great?
Yes. She's great in The Great.
She's so good in
The Great. She's so good in that. But like there was a period where it was her and Mia and they're just like these auteur muses with like these non-characters where their job is just to be like bewildered.
Stoker will change your mind about that.
Kind of We Have Always Lived in the Castle vibes. Meerkat. Okay. A little bit of Meerkat vibes. So,
because look, I want my mind to be changed on this.
She's good in it. I think she's good in it. Yeah. And also the guy that plays the uncle is like the perfect... Oh. Like scary, sexy kind of guy. It's
he has the Vincent smile, the trademark smile.
Yes,
that's,
he does.
That's it. That's what's going on.
I have to watch this movie now so that this book makes sense.
It's on HBO Max right now at the moment. So if you want to watch it,
yeah, it's a good comp to me for Shame, which is like I've been using that as a comp for my feature.
Kelly is working on a feature called Shame.
But it's, it like that kind of like, this guy, he's so, he's magnetic, but also like, get away from me.
Yeah, like all the girls in school love him and everything. Mm-hmm. When he's driving by in like the Corvette or whatever.
Oh my God, when he picks her up at school. Oh my, I was like, this man, alert, alert this man.
I'd still date him.
Here's the thing. I'm like, alert. But I understand, like, I know how to protect myself.
Yeah. Alert, alert, unless it's me.
Unless it's me. Sam is like Crimson Peak. I'm like,
fine.
I'm like, this brother and sister has something going on that right. you don't want to get in the middle of. But like,
but I,
like,
I know
what I'm getting into.
Like, red flag girl, let me get in there and fix
it. Yeah, yeah. I'll fall on that sword for you.
Mia, don't do it. You don't have the capacity. I am equipped. I'm equipped.
Exactly. But yeah, I do recommend Stoker. It's great. It has really imaginative and beautiful cinematography as well. Really.
Seriously.
Really.
Who made Stoker?
Nothing. I want to say Park Chan-wook.
Also, do you know who wrote it? Your
David
mind's going to be blown.
Kelly.
Your mind's going to be blown. Ready?
Who?
Wentworth Miller.
I don't know who that is. So I'm sorry
the actor
that my
from
mind
Prison
can't
Break.
Be blown. What? All right, my mind is blown.
Your mind is blown.
My mind is blown.
The fucking actor from Prison Break wrote this fucking movie. Yeah.
Good for him.
He did a great job.
Yeah, and Matthew Good is the one who plays the uncle.
Yes.
The
Matthew Good is.
Yeah. Yeah.
Very hot.
Phenomenal.
Yeah, that's the thing, Lindsay. See, you'll
very
get
good
it.
Actor.
You'll get it.
Well, the thing is, I've never seen this movie, but I know exactly what you're talking about because I saw the three of them in it and went, I'm interested.
Yeah.
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 The trailer looks very creepy and fun.
Nicole Kidman is so good in it.
She really is. Oh my God.
Oh my God. Yeah. The cutting back between the shots of when Nicole Kidman's character is like finding something out and like she's like upset, and then we're going downstairs and we keep cutting back and forth between where she is and where Mia's character is, and she's like swinging the lights.
Yeah.
And the lights swing, and then when we go back up, there's like lights shining on Nicole Kidman's face. It's so cool. It's really cool.
I think Nicole is kind of like Delia in her, you know, just denying things as the story progresses until
oh my God, there comes a point where you're like, open your damn eyes, lady. What are you doing?
I mean, you could handle this situation, but he's not equipped to.
Because I know,
my eyes would be open.
Right, right. And you could just lure him in with some midnight.
Midnight wine.
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, Delia needs to open her eyes. So does Karina. They briefly do, but then close them instantly again.
They just don't want their eyes opened is the issue.
Yeah.
And if you don't want your eyes opened, they're not going to open.
No.
You know, well, another thing changing subjects here, back to the Conklin Award, like they don't tell us anything about, you know, what songs they're performing or anything. Like Delia's is an original and stuff, but I wanted to hear like some of the lyrics or something. I wanted some more of that detail. It's just like, you know, how we didn't have details about Vincent Smile. Like there were definitely some like serious details. Like they make such a big deal about the Conklin Award, but like the performances are just very just kind of washed over, and it's mainly just Delia saying, oh, they're so much better than me.
Yeah. Why aren't Brittany and Gabe trying to get competing this award either?
They're
such good friends. They're such good friends.
Like, you know what?
They don't want
to
compete with
her. You deserve to go to college more than I.
Yeah, exactly. They know that it's their role to support Delia.
Yes, they are not the main character in there.
Delia, we know you drive a Jetta, so we're
that red Jetta. Jetta.
We all wanted it.
Mm-hmm.
For sure. Karina drove a silver car, but they don't specify what it was.
No.
So very forgettable.
But
a red Jetta. That's how you know she's creative.
You know, she's creative.
That's how you know she deserves that Conklin Award, because in the car portion of the competition, she's going to win because she's the only one with a brand name car.
Yeah, and it's going to be a red Jetta with a purple interior. And they're going to be like, who thought to put those two colors together?
What? The engine is silver. That's wild.
Only Delia would do that. Only Delia.
Only she
could pull that off.
Yeah.
What? The bumper color? What color is that? Midnight wine.
Yeah.
Oh, but going back to midnight wine and the way she sets Karina up is, I think, brilliant, because we know that we feel that these blotted papers are going to come into play. Sure enough, Vincent's body is found. He's dead. He's in the Fear Street mansion. And there, right on his little cheek, are Delia's midnight wine lip prints. And so they take her in and they're like, the detectives are like showing her the lip prints. They put it up on the bulletin board and they're like, explain that. It's the exact same. And she goes, yes, it is the exact same. It's so much the exact same that this should be mirror image reversed. Why is it so exactly the same print as on the paper? And they're like, whoa, our minds are blown. You're an amazing detective.
Exactly.
Please be our police chief.
They buy it. It was Detective Karina. Detective Bender and Detective Jameson. They just fell for it instantly.
Remembered their names. They I never would have.
No. They also, okay, I did think that the way she set this up was cool. However, here's where I was kind of like,
oh, I mean, it makes no sense. But yeah, the fact that the lip, like it makes sense.
Because like the lip print would not, you know what I mean? Like you wouldn't. The way that someone kisses something, it doesn't look exactly the same as a non-pursed lip. So you wouldn't be like, oh, well, obviously I can see your lips. The shape matches the shape of this kiss mark. Like,
how does she know her own lips? Yeah. Comparing it to that. Like, she just knows instantly and they put line and sinker.
Well, because what they're doing is they have her kiss a piece of paper.
Did they have her do it?
On a bulletin board, I think. And then they put the photo of Vincent's cheek up on a bulletin board and they're like, see, it's the same. And basically, RL is treating lip prints like fingerprints.
Yeah.
So like, lip she prints can, like, are a thing. But here's the thing.
But it is like so perfect.
But also it would match.
But it shouldn't.
It does.
Sorry.
They
I
were
mean,
saying
the problem
your
is
lips.
The problem is it matches.
Because
it was her lips.
It was transferred off of a blotting paper onto Vincent's cheek, which would make it a reverse of the blotting paper. Yeah.
Right.
So maybe they found.
No, because they go, look in the mirror and then tell me that that doesn't look. And so she looks in the mirror and she's like, oh my gosh, that is the same.
She just looks in the mirror.
Yes. So that's why I was like, her, how can they tell? Like,
why would she know that so instantly?
No. And how would they know?
I stand corrected. That's fucking stupid.
But in
a beautiful way. It's stupid in a beautiful way.
Yes.
Even stupider, though, she's literally in the interrogation and in the interrogation room, and she's about to put on Midnight Wine.
Oh, I know.
And she catches herself doing it. It's like,
she's putting on a little show. She's putting on a performance because she planned all of this. She killed Vincent. She did use a paper to put her own lip prints on his cheek so that it wouldn't match as if she had actually kissed him, so that she could set Karina up for it, put blotted papers in Karina's room to make it look like she had access. So in
that
moment,
she hid it like in her dresser,
she like walks up like fucking Gloria Swanson into the mirror and she's like, it's time for my close up. She's like,
I know,
wait, officers.
I know, she gets out her midnight wine and she's like, oh my goodness, what am I thinking?
What
and like puts it back. Like,
yes.
So fake.
I would love
I love
to see
that.
An adaptation of this scene because it would be so beautifully hammy.
Devious.
Mm-hmm. It Super. Is. It's devious.
Stunning. Stunning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so she stabbed him in the chest with a knife, right?
Yes.
So that's what they said. I don't think we got any details about where she got the knife or any of that, but
And we didn't really get too many details on how she like staged her own kidnapping and
She sat for hours making those burn marks.
So she makes burn marks on her wrist. She tears up her dress. And then she's like, oh, this was the part two where I was like, I know you want to like share your victory over Karina with Gabe. Do I keep saying Gabe? Is his name Gabe?
It's Gabe. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
With Gabe. But like, do it in the car. Like, why did you tell him at the fucking hospital in front of?
Because she's out of her mind.
Yeah.
She's completely out of it at this point.
She's just like, I've got everything I want. Gabe is such a fucking simp that he won't care that I did all of
this. He is a simp, though. He is.
And
he's simping.
Vincent. But the ending of this book made me laugh so much.
I laughed so hard.
I was like, am I missing pages?
No, I laughed so hard.
It honestly, the ending, it makes me a little furious because it could have ended even better. So here's how it ends. She tells Gabe, you know, like how she did all this. I guess I had to tell somebody, you look shocked, but you won't tell on me, will you, Gabe? And she keeps saying, will you, will you, will you? But then it turns out there was a doctor standing behind her who heard the whole thing. But if they had just, and the doctor says, I heard the whole thing, I'll call the police. If they had just omitted that and just left the ending on will you,
will you, yeah.
will you, that would have been such a great ending.
I 100% agree. Such but somewhere else got to tell us that somebody else heard and it'll be fine.
Yeah, it's going to be fine. I wanted Gabe to just have this nightmare life that I could imagine, you know, with her.
Yes, that he's
on,
just stuck with her.
And maybe he has to confide in Britty and, you know.
Oh, God. And then he and Britty have to try and get away. End.
Yeah, I wanted Britty to, like, know what was going down, too. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, poor Britty. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, now Britty's going to have to, like, testify and everything.
Very sad. We're Britty.
But did they even, I know they like check, you know, they made such a big deal about the lipstick, but did they check the knife for fingerprints? Like that seems like something.
Why? They have the lipstick.
It may be.
They don't need it.
They have the lipstick.
That's right. Yeah.
The lips are the murder weapon.
Well, when it's midnight, why?
That's true.
It kills everyone. Killer's kiss.
Killer's kiss.
Killer's kiss.
Literally.
We should have known.
The answer was right there before our eyes.
Usually the name is bullshit, so I'm pretty
But
like pretty shocked.
Like the book that was called The Knife, but it should have been called The Hospital.
Oh yeah, I hated that it was called The Knife. That was some major BS.
But I laughed so hard at this ending because it says a sound made Gabe turn. And you basically already said it, but I just want the listeners to have a really clear idea of how fucking abrupt and nothing it is. A sound made Gabe turn. Gazing over Delia's shoulder, he saw a white-coated doctor standing grim-faced at the doorway. I heard the whole story, the doctor told Gabe. I'll phone the police. End of
the
book.
End.
And I was like, wait,
literally
what?
The end.
Yeah.
I went and I checked out a different edition of the book to make sure that this one wasn't missing pages, because that has happened before in Open Library. Mm-hmm. But no, that's just how the book ends. And it would have, like you said, been so much more interesting if it just ended on her asking, will you, and us not, and being left in a like space of like, is he going to tell on her? Will she get away with it?
She semi-threatens him too, because at one point when she's saying, will you, she actually calls him Vincent. It's like accidental, but I think it's kind of like intentional as well. If I don't do this, I'm going to be the next victim.
When she says, like, you remember what happened to Vincent.
She says, you won't tell, will you? You won't forget what I did to Vincent, will you? But why is she saying you won't forget what I...
Meaning, I could do this to you.
Yeah.
So she, and I love that slip. Like, it's so delicious. It's so, it's very, I don't know. Like, it's very, like, juicy and, like, campy. I wish that it would have stayed kind of, you know, what you proposed, which is just that...
Mm-hmm. And that would have been more like, because we just read a collection of short stories. In this collection called 13. Oh, you listened to that episode.
It was like
the R.L. Stine story in that, where she's like sitting by the phone waiting for William, the guy who hypnotized her, to tell her what to do. It would have been more like that.
Yeah.
I was more into you two talking about Jared from Subway on a podcast called Teen Creeps.
Teen Creeps. She literally is. Yeah.
Finally actually talked about a teen creep.
A real teen creep.
Yeah.
It only took 5 years. Just kidding. I'm sure we've talked about a creep before.
I'm sure we've talked about Jared before. I'm going to be honest.
Maybe.
I wish
that.
Delia's
a delicious character.
She is.
Like you said.
I wish that that more of the time, especially now after having read 13 and kind of seeing these authors feel a little bit free from the confines of like what they think about book should be, and of course this is, you know, maybe publisher notes or whatever, or editor's notes or something, but just in general I kind of wish people felt a little freer in all kinds of media to kind of just
you don't have to wrap everything up in a happy bow, like it's all gonna be okay. This was Fear Street number 42, right? So
and I like that. We don't need to have justice be served, and like we don't
And it leaves it open for, you know, potential sequels. I would have loved to see, you know, like a follow up to this and find out, you know,
could,
how
Yeah, and maybe right after that, like she kills the doctor, and so he can't call the cops, and then so he's
right.
Stuck
and now it's, the next book is all about Britty and Gabe trying to figure out how to prove Delia is a maniac. And stuff,
yeah.
Killer's Kiss too.
Yeah.
The
Midnight Whiner.
Midnight Wine just got a whole lot whiner.
The wine inning.
I did like this one though. I definitely recommend it. It's a enjoyable read and it's quick and it's
pretty my god,
good
was paced. It quick. It was I think by page 20 I was on chapter 6. I'm like, man, I'm a good reader.
Yeah.
These and books like, a really lot happens. Build up your reading confidence. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You're like, man, I can read a book in like an hour.
I read The Stand earlier this year for the first time, and I absolutely love Stephen King.
Love The Stand.
But it's hard to feel like you're making progress in that book because you're reading it forever. This, I was like, man, 3 hours done. Good.
Yep. It's funny because like we'll be like reading, you know, these books, and then we feel so confident, and then. You know, we get our confidence tested every month because we also get our outside genre episodes. So then it's like we have to read like adult books a lot. And we're like, oh, this is a little more dense than these like bullshit that we read every week.
Well, I like that you're covering movies, too, and stuff. I mean, that's man, when the TV shows, when you covered all the Fear Street Netflix stuff off.
Yeah.
That was great. I mean, that's my wheelhouse. I love the horror movie stuff. So.
Yeah. Yeah. I love.
Which was your favorite of the Fear Streets? I like the.
I liked
first
two.
One. Two.
Oh, and then I liked three the most.
Right, yeah. How about that?
We've covered.
Well, we make a trilogy together. Great.
Yeah, I mean, I think for me it was very, very. I like two the best as a standalone, and I like three the best for like what it did for the, like how it contextualized one and two more.
Gotcha. Yeah. Two. I liked a lot because I mean it's a slasher throwback. Yeah. I mean that's I was super excited about, but I just. Felt like it was a lot of the same as the first one.
I wanted new
like bad guys in that one. I guess. Some new villains, some new monsters. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Agreed.
But yeah, overall, I really liked that series.
So good.
Yeah, and this was just a fun read. I was laughing so much through it. I mean,
it was so funny.
Yeah, I did want like just some more references to things in our world. You know, like I think Michelle Pfeiffer is the only thing other than a Jetta that like from
Michelle
our
Pfeiffer
world
and a Jetta.
And a Jetta, yeah. And I can't believe I haven't looked this up yet. Does Midnight Wine lipstick exist? Because if not,
I'm gonna guess no. Hold on.
I mean, it may not look like. The same.
Okay,
but
Midnight Wine lips. Okay,
so
well, there's
so many titles for lipsticks.
I got a result for Sephora, so
I have Midnight Wine lipstick. Yeah, something on Amazon. Yeah,
Laneige
Silk Intense lipstick.
Midnight
number
Wine.
380.
Yep, number R19 and 380.
Not very good reviews. I'm going to tell you.
On this carousel
actually 4.3
site.
Out of 5.
I got a 5-star rating out of 96 reviews on this carousel site. So someone likes Midnight Wine somewhere. It's Delia. She's just rating it up.
Yeah.
Yep.
She's just in jail rating lipstick. I just rewatched The Neon Demon for the LA Podcasts film club.
What'd you think
side
of it?
Episodes. I had seen it before. I really enjoy Neon Demon. And
that is slow
that
burn
scene,
as it gets.
Yeah, there's that scene at the beginning with when they're all together for the first time in the bathroom at that club, and and Jenna Malone's character Kelly. Have you seen Neon Demon?
I have not. It is on my
I think
to
you'd
watch.
Enjoy it. But they're having that conversation about how all like women's lipsticks sell best if they're named after food or sex, and Jenna Malone turns to Elle Fanning is like, "So which are you, food or sex?" Thesis of the movie. Of the movie.
The ending, though, you will not see that coming. Let me tell you, Kelly. Wow.
Okay. Cool.
Yeah.
It is on my list.
It is something else. Yeah.
It's a fun one. And Keanu Reeves is so fucking funny in it.
Mm-hmm.
He plays a sleazy motel owner / sex trafficker,
he's in it.
And every line he delivers is so unnatural and funny.
Yeah, I think that was the reason I watched it originally, because I had heard he had just some amazing thing in it, so I had to check it out. But
really funny. And you just, because And on the podcast, that like a little preview, one of the girls brought up how it's like, well, we know that Keanu Reeves is such a prince in real life, so it's like very funny to be watching him play such a sleaze.
Yeah, because he tried like shedding that like a bit in the 90s. He did like some movie where he's a serial killer. It was kind of like, you know, one of the many movies that tried like ripping off Seven or Kiss the Girls or whatever. But yeah, it's just like you can't buy Keanu as a killer, really. But he's great.
The most unique delivery in the game.
100%. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I not to bring up Nicole Kidman again, I will say that in Nine Perfect Strangers, though, you do get to see her do kind of her weird like choices, which is
character
good.
Actress.
Yeah.
Nicole.
She does a lot of specific, very strange choices, which are really tops. Like I really liked.
Yeah.
I really liked seeing that.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, I think she was the whole reason like I kept watching the show because she was so entertaining. And like there's the one couple who drives in the Lamborghini or something. I felt like they were a complete afterthought in the show. Like that was the one thing I was like, we could have had them just not be in it, honestly, and it still would have been fine. But
I thought that the chemistry between Melissa McCarthy and
Melissa was phenomenal in it.
Yeah,
she was really, really good.
And Bobby Cannavale, their chemistry was fucking like I was like, oh yeah, this is what it's like for characters to have chemistry. Like I feel like, you know, now and we've complained about this on this show, how like they just put two attractive actors in a room and they're like, yeah this will be right. And it's like, oh, you were expecting me to want those people to get together? Like, I have no opinion about these people.
Yeah.
But them, the second they interact, I was like, they're going to be together.
Yeah, they go on like a journey together.
Do people do chemistry things anymore? Yeah. Because, come on. Because
some of this shit, I'm like, these people have no desire to be in the same room.
Yeah. Two pretty people do not a sex relationship make.
No. And I mean, even like in general, like chemistry, like as we've talked, have we talked about this? The show Evil on...
We haven't.
Is it ABC, NBC? CBS. Anyway, CBS. Okay.
CBS All Access.
All of the characters like have no business being in the same thing. Like they're not like the family doesn't make sense. Like the parents, to me, I'm just like, oh, this show is like an interesting premise. But like truly every time any character is on screen with any other character, I'm like, these people don't need to share frame because they have no... There's nothing there.
Oops.
That's probably what happened with like Vincent and Karina, right? Like they're both very pretty, but they don't work.
I think so. Yeah, I was never feeling the heat.
Mm-hmm. No.
Although RL doesn't really bring the heat.
Chased sexless books.
Yes. Christopher Pike brings heat.
Oh,
so I've heard. So I have heard.
They're sexy. I feel like, they're all very, I could see like Sarah Michelle Gellar playing a character in one of those in the, you know, when she was doing Cruel Intentions and stuff, like I think she could be in a Christopher Pike thing back then, or like any of those people that have chemistry with everybody.
Man, Cruel Intentions, I love that movie, but it always pisses me off that people don't know Dangerous Liaisons exists. Like,
oh my god, well,
literally a remake.
Do your homework.
Do your homework. Also,
speaking of Michelle Pfeiffer and Keanu Reeves, they're both in it.
They're both in it. And also, hilariously, we're supposed to believe that John Malkovich is like undeniably sexy. And I'm just like, I just can't. Like,
respect he's just, to John, but.
Yeah. Oh, love John. Fantastic.
He is just a fiend in that. Oh, I love it.
But, God.
And
like
Glenn
him
Close.
And Glenn Close.
Oh, my God.
Like, them being like the evil sex couple. Like, I just was like, this is such interesting casting. Oh, yeah. And Uma. Uma's in it. She plays the, like, the Renee, or the Reese Witherspoon character.
Right. The innocent.
Yeah. I remember.
Watched a video about Cruel Intentions and, like, part of it compared the two. I'm trying to find the count. Oh, here it is. Yara Zaid on YouTube. It's Y-H-A-R-A, second word, Zaid, Z-A-Y-D. She's got great videos, very in-depth, very thoughtful analysis of pop culture and movies and things. And she made a video and pointed out that Ryan Phillippe is kind of aping John Malkovich's weird delivery.
Oh, he is.
Liaison.
Yeah.
Very interesting. Like the phrasing, the like non-musicality of his,
yes, of his and delivery. The kind of like over, you know, who talks, do you know Chris Bramante? I feel like Chris Bramante talks like John Malkovich. Like
I haven't heard him talk enough.
He just is always, he always talks like this, and I'm like, what is that way you speak? It's like
a kind of old school,
yeah, like you're from fucking Middle Earth or some shit. What is that? But yeah, that's really interesting.
I want to see Malkovich and Walken in a film together. Christopher Walken, seeing those two have a conversation would be something else.
Indeed.
Long conversation.
Throw Keanu in there.
Oh, man.
Oh, yeah. God.
My goodness.
Did you ever hear Malkovich's Russian accent in the, I think it was Rounders. It was like a gambling movie.
I remember Rounders. Malkovich was in my his Edward Russian Morgan accent. Obsessive phase.
Oh, my God. It is something else, him trying to do a Russian accent in that one.
It's a lot.
It is.
In a good way.
Yet this man, his nanny.
Yeah, it's like truly like not vague Russian, like kind of Russian.
Yeah.
I love commitment.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, he is full in on that one.
Nothing if not.
Yeah.
Nothing if not. But yeah, that was
Killer's Kiss.
I would say read it, y'all. Get it.
I think they should have called it Midnight Wine.
They should have fucking called it Midnight Wine.
That would have been fun.
It really would have.
Killer's Kiss does work. Like, certainly one of his more appropriate titles, but Midnight Wine is so evocative.
Yeah.
I wonder really if they can't do, like, alcohol. You know what I'm saying?
Maybe. Can't put alcohol in the title of a children's book.
Children's
novel.
The innocent children, but you know, describe, you know, dead rats decomposing in a guitar. Yeah, no problem, but
you can put whatever you want forbid, in the book.
But it's weird because I feel like there's a certain type of puritanism. My parents definitely shared, which was like violence is like totally fine, but like any kind of sex is like, oh God, we cannot deal with that.
That's why we get so much more sexual violence on television than just hot, steamy sex.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah.
Boo.
Boo.
Don't like it.
No. But thank you so much, Roger, for joining us. Yes, we really appreciate you coming.
I'm so happy to be on this. And I mean, I've been obviously friends with Lindsay for a long time, but also just fan of the podcast for real. So I think it's such a fantastic idea. And, you know, I've written about these kind of books, and also it's just awesome that you have a podcast dedicated to this stuff. And I love like this was a great introduction to, you know, for me to actually read my first full R.L. Stine book. Like I was laughing so much through it. And also, you know, I hope I can come on again sometime and do more of these with you too. This is an absolute delight.
Thank you.
And I'm totally going to buy some Midnight Wine.
Yeah, you got to get it.
Amazon. Even though apparently it's not that highly rated.
Well, it's just not rated very much.
Make your own decisions.
That's right. Don't listen to the reviews.
Don't fall in with the crowd. Just like Delia, stand out. And
that's right.
Your boyfriends.
You drive that Jetta wherever you want, even if it's straight to a murder.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well,
thank you again. And do you have anything that you would like to plug or let people know where to find you online?
Yeah, I mean, you can find me online at iMockery. That's iMockery. I'm on Twitter and Instagram, and my website is i-mockery.com. I've been doing, you know, my Halloween celebrations and all kinds of spooky stuff forever on there. But also, on a more serious note, my wife, Marie, passed away 4 years ago. She had severe clinical depression, and sadly, she took her own life. And I've been telling the ongoing story of her life and her struggles and what I've been doing to honor her memory ever since then. And because it's important to, you know, just, you know, remove the stigma behind mental health issues, because so many people don't want to even talk about it because they feel shamed about it. I know for a fact she did, and so many other people do. But the story is also for people who have loved ones that struggle with that, so they know how to, you know, maybe have some of the tools to deal with it themselves. Because a lot of these people who have clinical depression and, you know, anxiety and all these things. It's not, you can't always just leave it up to them to be the ones to come forward. Like if you see these problems with someone, you need to be the one doing the reaching out and helping them and stuff. You know, my heart is forever broken about losing Ree. But I know for a fact her story has helped save other lives. I'm very glad to know that. And she was an organ donor as well. And she helped save lives that way as well. So if you want to read that, it's at i-mockery.com/Ree, R-E. You can learn more about her. But I just think it's really important for people to know about these kind of things.
Thanks, Arlen.
For sure.
Thank you. Well, thank you. Thank you for that lovely message. And thank you again for being on the show.
Well, thank you so much. I really, really do hope we can do it again sometime. I had an absolute blast with it.
Yeah. Thank you so much. Yeah, it was really fun.
Thank you to all of our listeners and Patreon supporters. If you would like to become a Patreon subscriber, go to patreon.com/teencreeps, where we have a lot of extra content for people at different levels of giving. And a special shout out to our Patreon producers.
Thank you, Aaron Fernandez,
Adam Halwitz,
Amanda Nangle,
Ashley Fritz,
Brian Petty II,
Clara Moore,
Courtney McPhail,
Danielle Amana,
Danny B,
Aaron B,
Gabriela Santiago,
Gianna Fernandez,
Gwendolyn Ludovic,
Jeremy Kronk,
Jeremy Goodfellow and Marco Pavlicic,
Jessica Smith Harper,
Jessica Yu,
Jonathan Venable,
Saoirse Descaro,
Karen Lewis,
Kat Miller,
Katie Lilly,
Katie Olsner,
Keith Anderson,
Kelly Burns,
Christerina,
Landry Desmond,
Larry Nguyen,
Laura Hooper,
Luke Bartek,
Mandalay Wolschlager,
Max B,
Megan Lozier,
Mel Leos,
Melody,
Micah Eunice,
Miguel Camacho,
Miranda Hester,
Molly G,
Molly Marks,
Noah Spargo,
Rachel Bassert,
Randy Klett,
Rebecca Goss,
Robert L,
Ro Kalihua,
Sarah Wallen,
Sasha Gibson,
Sylvie T,
Tristan Buckner,
Victoria Beck,
Victoria Gray,
and Victoria Valdez. Thank you.
Thank you to everyone. Next week, do we know what we are doing yet? I think that you chose a bunch of books.
Yes,
for us.
I chose some books that are all on Open Library, so we don't have to buy them. And I am vamping until I can find the calendar.
Looking
and
for the
it's
sheet.
Going and
looking
it's opening
sheet. Looking
and
for
it
the sheet
is
and here
going.
Is the sheet.
Oh. We are going to be covering, we're covering someone that we've never covered before, and she has not, I don't think she has a ton of entries in the point horror genre. She basically pretty much only wrote a little bit in the early 90s. Her name is Tessa Kraling, and her book is called The Nightmare Man.
Oh, I like
title.
That.
Like
Sounds
the title.
Good. For sure.
So that's what we'll be covering next week. Read it. You ding dongs. And we will catch you guys next time. Is there any more biz, Lindsay?
No more biz. I think that's it. Thanks for joining us. Have a great day, everybody. Please get vaccinated and keep it creepy.
Forever Dog.
This has been a Forever Dog production. Executive produced by Kelly Nugent, Lindsay Kaytai, Brett Boehm, Joe Cilio, and Alex Ramsey. For more original podcasts, please visit ForeverDogPodcasts.com and subscribe to our shows on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Keep up with the latest Forever Dog news by following us on Twitter and Instagram @ForeverDogTeam and liking our page on Facebook.